The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
We don't have many enemies here at CITR, but we do like to keep our friends close. And when you become a member of CITR, our friends are your friends. So join CITR today to get discounts at Audiopile, Red Cat, Vinyl Records, Hooked on Phono, Rufus Guitar and Drum Shop, Tapestry Music, The Cinematheque, Kerner's Pub, Stormcrow, The Pint, and Fortune Sound Club. For more info, visit CITR.ca/friends.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyberweb? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hi, everyone. My name is Richard, and you're listening to Season 6's All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates Deepy, Christy, and Randy. I hope everyone's keeping well and staying safe. The team and I have a great show lined up for you today. Recently, Christy and Randy had the opportunity to have an interview with songwriter and playwright Mateo Esposito. However, before we air the interview, let's go to our first song break. Here's Deepy with the first song.
Hi, Richard and everyone. Thanks. So our first song of the show is with our interviewee, Mateo Esposito, with the song Believe It or Not.
My good friend told me to believe in myself, and you can beat the odds in time. So I took the message into my heart, and now I need to make it mine. Do you hear me when I sing out these words to you? Do you hear me when I tell you just what you could do? Believe it or not, believe it or not, you can do anything. Believe it or not, believe it or not, a world is what you can bring. So sing it out loud with your head up and be proud of who you are. Now I'm only working inches away and making all my dreams come true. I worked hard and believed in myself, and all of you can do it too. Do you hear me when I sing out these words to you? Do you hear me when I tell you just what you could do? Believe it or not, believe it or not, you can do anything. Believe it or not, believe it or not, the world is what you can bring. So sing it out loud. Put your head up and be proud of who you are. I'm not saying that it's easy, and I'm not saying it ain't hard, and I don't mean to come off cheesy. But all your dreams are not that far away. Believe it or not, believe it or not, you can do anything. Believe it or not, believe it or not, the world is what you can bring. So sing it out loud with your head up and be proud of who you are. Raise your head up and be proud of who you are.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song that you just heard was Believe It or Not by our interviewee, Mateo Esposito. To know more about Mateo, I would like to hand it over to Christy and Randy. Christy and Randy, you two had the opportunity to speak with Mateo. Can you tell us more about this person and what did you all talk about?
Thanks, Deepy. So we had the opportunity to speak to Mateo Esposito. He is a wonderful playwright and songwriter from Oakville, Ontario. And it was just really great chatting with him about his work, goals, and passion for telling honest stories. We even got to hear a snippet of his most recent playwright, Sorting It Out. We also discussed the representation of people with disabilities in the performing arts and entertainment industry. And this topic resonates with Mateo as he has autism and is an advocate for more people with disabilities in the arts. Randy, did you want to add anything?
Certainly, he was very passionate about his work and very, very passionate about the inclusion of people specifically with disabilities, but autism in the industry. So I think those were things that stood out. And of course, for me, we had a little chat about Italian food because I grew up in a family that had Italian step parents, and we talked a little bit about food. Okay, so I'm Randy Millis from CITR Vancouver, and my co-host...
Christy from CITR Vancouver as well.
And we are coming to you from the unceded territory of...
the Musqueam people.
On FM frequency...
101.9 FM.
And our guest today is Mateo Esposito.
Hello.
And Mateo is from, I forgot what part of Ontario, forgive me.
Oakville, Ontario, Canada.
From Oakville, which is about half an hour outside of Toronto, depending on traffic?
Yes, yes. Traffic is okay these days because of the pandemic and everything. So yeah, half an hour.
So welcome. And then joining you, today is your colleague, Ben.
Yes.
Ben is an actor from, Ben, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, sounds good. So my name is Ben Weiss. I'm 19 years old. I live in Illinois, and I'm an aspiring actor. And I've been a part of his play, playing Ed, for a couple months.
Okay, excellent. So I guess I'll let you start off with the first question.
Yeah. So who is Mateo Esposito?
So who is Mateo Esposito is a, it's me, basically, I'm kidding. But but he is an inspiring actor and playwright from the Oakville, Ontario, Canada area. He also has autism and he has a disability. And he's trying to use the disability as in to make things greater in this world. So yeah.
So you're kind of leveraging that to kind of open people's eyes?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, definitely.
So, Mateo, what made you become a playwright in the first place?
Well, that's a really good question. I always loved music. So music was a part of me. But to write plays is to tell stories. I wanted to teach, basically, not teach as in a teacher, but I wanted to teach as in teaching through art. So I thought the best way to teach through art is to write a play. So I decided to start up a theater company in Oakville, Ontario, Canada. It's still running our community living. And I thought that it would be great to involve special needs into the world of theater. So I decided to do that and wrote a few plays, and I'm very proud of that. So as yeah.
Yeah, and your latest work is which one? Sorry?
Sorting It Out. Sorting It Out is a play about autism.
And we're going to do a little excerpt from that a bit later here in the show, right?
Yes, absolutely. I can't wait.
Yeah, I love to hear that, telling stories through art. I think there's a lot of different mediums. People do that and always like in awe of people who truth tell and tell stories. So that's really good to hear.
Yeah.
I have a question. What playwright have you looked up to like growing up, or one that you're currently following?
I have a few. Nicholas Bilon is a great writer. He's done Butcher, which is a play in Toronto. It started actually at a season in Toronto. Got picked up by David Mervish, who I actually got to meet one of these days. And so Mervish decided to bring it to the Panasonic Theatre, now the CAA Theatre, compliments of CAA. And the play's great. The play talks about justice in the justice system, and it's full of a bunch of twists and turns. I read it, and it's fantastic. Another playwright is Ayad Akhtar, who wrote Disgraced, which is about Islamophobia and all that in the States, and there's some shocking moments in both of those plays. And both of them came to Toronto, and I'm so pleased that I got to see Disgraced. I read Butcher, and both of them are fantastic. So if the, any playwrights are listening, look up those because they are fantastic. Disgraced and Butcher, please.
Okay, and we'll try and put those as links on our webpage if we can. What else do you do? I understand you're a songwriter and you're connected with a Canadian band. And what can you tell us about that?
Well, I'm connected to a beautiful young man named Anthony Tullo. He's a Canadian country rock artist. He happens to be my uncle, and he's the top five male artist of the year in Ontario. He is amazing. He went to Poland and performed and everything. And he's also an actor. He's my mentor. And he actually directed the original Canadian production of Sorting It Out. So he's just terrific. If anybody looks him up, and he doesn't have special needs, but he's a terrific guy, terrific artist, and a terrific musician. And writer, he's a writer of films and all that too. So just terrific all around.
And I'm sorry.
My inspiration.
I'm sorry. What was the gentleman's name?
Anthony Tullo.
Okay. Well, we'll certainly keep our eyes open for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have a mentor too, and like especially in this industry as well.
Oh yeah.
Could you tell me about your favorite play or song that you've written? Was it your latest one or?
Well, my favorite play is Sorting It Out, because of the fact that Sorting It Out is about autism, and it talks about ignorance in all its different forms. The play is basically just an honest depiction of autism, and it's just a brilliant, brilliant reader, brilliant, brilliant watch, if anybody watches it or reads the play. And I'm very pleased to bring it because to audiences and to readers alike, because the play is so prolific and so profound and so today that I think that we should hear more of it, you know, hear more of people with autism breaking into this industry, and more so, more plays about autism as well. So, yeah.
So it's very, very relevant.
Absolutely. Yes.
With the pandemic, how's it affected you? Has it inspired you to write more or plays, more songs?
Thanks, Randy. Absolutely. So I'm coming out, hopefully with a CD in the next year or so, but I haven't put my foot down on that with that idea. But yes, a lot of creativity happens in the mind in my house, basically. And of course, creativity can happen anywhere, from the street to the park, you know. So creativity can happen anywhere, and I'm very happy that the pandemic slowed us down, made us also think about what is happening, and be more creative about how we approach theater and how we approach things. Yeah.
So you've looked at it in a very positive fashion as opposed to a negative way.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love how you said that, like, creativity can happen anywhere, because
I do
believe that as well. That
absolutely, yeah.
Kind of relates to the next question, I guess. Like, what's the first hook that gets a new play started for you? Is it an image, a theme, a character?
It's an experience. It's an experience because... Yeah, it's an experience. Sorting It Out is actually based on a real experience, true experience that happened to me. And most plays start out that way for me. Like Sorting It Out, like I said, and I'll mention to you about that more, but the play is this tiny little 30-minute one act that really packs a punch. And it happened to me on a transit bus in Oakville, Ontario, in Canada, actually. And the story is inspired me to write this play. And I said, and I felt this character's voice, his name was Ed. He came to me, and he basically was pointing at me. He was like, "You," and there's a, you know, and basically that voice in that character made me write this brilliant, wonderful one-act play. So it's an experience, yes. Sometimes it could be images that could come into your mind. Even dreams, I hear people, dreams, even the shower, for goodness sake. People have ideas and things, but don't quote me on that, because I don't have ideas in the shower. They're more of life experience. But there's a few people that have, like, I don't know, but yeah.
Are you working on anything else right now that you can maybe give us a little glimpse into?
I am. I am working on a new play called The Mix Up. It's a comedy that is expected to perform live in Toronto this year, maybe in COVID willing, of course, in May, June, or July. So it's part of a one-act play festival, and it's funny, but it doesn't have autism in it or any disability in it. But it's about, you know, it has a little story to it. I don't want to give too much away, but the jokes are fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. Sorting It Out is, like I said, my latest work, and it's like breaking into the States and Canada and everywhere. And I'm very happy with that. But this new work is good too, don't worry.
Yeah, looking forward to your new work. And you've been talking a lot about Sorting It Out. I've also read it, and I thought it was really like a moving playwright.
Thank you.
I guess I want to ask, like, what role do you think theater plays in disability advocacy?
That's a really good question. Theater should be more educational and more bigger in the scope that people need to see pieces that will move, that will excite, that will thrill, but also engage an audience and also make them feel uncomfortable. That's what Sorting It Out does mostly. It makes an audience feel uncomfortable. And you'll see that in the little read-through that we're going to be giving you guys. But, like, it's amazing. It's an amazing piece. And I think schools could be more open to having performances in, you know, in their curriculum. I'm in college now. I'm here in college for backstage theater, and actually I did a presentation on Speck of Theater, and one person commented saying this should be in the curriculum. It's not. So believe it or not, people are out there who are hungry for new pieces of work that involve people with disabilities, involve all that stuff. So yeah, I'm very, very happy that schools are slowly starting to pick up works and slowly starting to create moments where they can bring theater and music and concerts into the classroom instead of just here's your work, do it. You know, I want more engagement. You know, engagement with the artists, engagement with the actors, and engagement with the students. I think the students should be interesting to see what the reactions are to the new plays that I produce, and of course. Like I said, I believe that students need to see good, I call it edutainment, education and entertainment mixed together. So I think it's good. I think it's good. Yeah.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The audio you were just listening to was of Christy and Randy's interview with Mateo Esposito. We'll play more of that interview for you shortly. But first, another song break. DP, what song are we listening to next?
Thanks, Richard. Our second song of the show is again by Mateo Esposito with the song Cancun.
Like the beaches in Cancun, you have that tone in your eyes. It took me by surprise, and my, it looked so fine. Girl, you walked away from me. I tried to make it right. The fact is I love you, and I'm gonna be yours tonight.
I know we'll be together when the sun comes out again. Now that you're away from me, the colors are not as bright. Baby, I love you, and I'm gonna make it right. One night, I'll be your man. One night, I'll be your friend. I dream about you every night. I'm hoping that you see the light.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Cancun from our interviewee, Mateo Esposito. Now back to you, Richard.
Thanks, DP. Before the song break, we were playing an interview with Oakville, Ontario's own songwriter and playwright, Mateo Esposito, who was awesome enough to chat with my Accessibility Collective teammates, Christy and Randy. Now, we'll continue playing that interview for you.
Does your relationship and experience with music inform how you approach your playwriting?
Yes. In music, we have beats. And I'm going to tell you something. Music, we have beats like a drum beat, bum, bum, bum. But there are beats in the play. Like beats mean pauses and all that. So if you're a musician out there, you get what I mean. But music has been, like background music has to be so precise and so on point that it has to really be a part of the play. I'm not talking about musicals. I love musicals where people sing and dance. But anyway, you know, I'm just saying that music will always be a part of a play. Or I have, like, in sorting it out without, like I said, what I mentioned before, sorting it out, the music tells a story. We had classical music in the beginning and the end in Oakville, Ontario, when we staged the play. And I think it's brilliant that the music really helps with the staging. So, yes, it does help. And it does create a sort of vibe that when you're in, you're in. If that makes any sense, yeah.
So you're from a family of musicians then, correct?
I am, yes.
And how has that inspired you?
Well, that inspires me every day because, the inspirational, I've seen somebody who's actually my uncle, who's Anthony Tulloy, as I mentioned. We talk every once in a while, and basically we share stories, and basically, like I said, he's a mentor. So that inspires me to see him write songs and to see him go forth and to be in an industry where he's competing among the best of the best and actually never give up. If you believe in yourself and never give up, you're a rock star, I think. And I think that's the best thing news that I can tell you. A lot of people don't believe in themselves and work hard. And that's, to me, that is sad. You know, a lot of people, I was actually talking with him the other day about taking risks. We need to take risks in this life. We need to go over the top. We need to make it to the top. We need to go over the top, if that makes any sense. So yeah, Anthony has been a really, really, really great, great inspiration to me. And that, like I said, to actually see him write a song, produce it, create it. And, you know, it's really, really downright amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love your discussion on like music and playwriting. Everything is really connected.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and how, like you mentioned, there's beats in the right. play. Life is a vibration, I think.
Yes, me too, me too.
Yeah, and so kind of relating to the question earlier about disability advocacy, what do you think is a good representation of people with disabilities?
That's a really, really tough question. And I have to say this with the utmost due respect to the industry of performing arts and theater and film and everything, and the utmost respect to the disability community. We need to be in the entertainment industry. We need to be in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Again, we need to be in the entertainment industry, you know, and that's all I can say. I have autism. I don't want to be on the sidelines getting a coffee for an actor while the actor is imitating an autistic person on film. I want to be in the film. I don't want to be on the sidelines. So I think the best representation in the industry is be in the industry and have the industry open up to us, because there's not a lot of that, you know, in the industry. I would love to see like artists open themselves up saying, I know you have autism, let's give you a chance. Like in my neighborhood, there are three ways to get out. I'll tell you something. You can either get a normal job with no real future. You can either get money as in rob a bank, or you can become what you want to become, which is a star. That's in the disabled community. That's how I see it. And I think that's unique in a way that I think that way. And other people say, well, that's unique. Of course it's unique. But that's the sad reality. There's three ways to get out. Normal job, rob a bank to get money that way, or become a star. And I think the best thing is, if you work hard at something and you truly, truly believe with all your might that you can, of course you could accomplish it.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Now, just to deviate for a moment here, I understand that you're Italian.
I am.
And a food lover, apparently.
Yes, yes.
So what is your favorite dish?
That's a really, really good question. Goodness gracious me.
We're talking about Italian food here as well, right? So.
Yes, yes. The Italian food would be tortellini con la panna, which means tortellini with white sauce. And tiramisu, you can't go wrong with that. And, you know, and I've got some vino on the side, never mind. But yeah, those three would be excellent. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I grew up in Brampton, and my stepfamily were Italian. And I always remember Nona's gnocchi.
Right.
And Nono's vino.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
It's good that I ate lunch before this and
Can you tell us about your process when you're writing, either as a musician or a playwright?
My process comes from, I like to write music first, and then the lyrics come later. I'm not a very good lyricist, but music can have some good melodies in my mind, and I have a music coach that works with me. But to be honest with you, my process is as a playwright now, is draft after draft after draft. So if you have an idea, work with it. But sorting it out didn't come to fruition until 3 years. I had a workshop in Barrie, Ontario, which Randy knows where that is. And then after that, we workshopped it some more after the play. After we did No For, somebody said, write this, write that, write that. Change this, change that. So I did. And I think I came Down was an interesting piece of theater. And like I said, the process is like keep writing, keep revising it until you have something to work with. So, yeah.
And you've had lots of support from your family, it sounds like.
I have, yes, absolutely. My family and my friends are very supportive. I couldn't ask for a better support network, you know? So it's great. It's great.
And aspirations of Broadway, I hear, are also on your visual horizon.
Yes, yes. Broadway, King Calling was sorting it out. I'm actually hoping to bring this to Off Broadway this year. Like, what Off Broadway is basically a 99-seat theater, 99 seats or less. And that's how small the theater is. But I think that if we have the right supports, if we have the right New York producer, which I think he's amazing at what he does. I don't want to name names, but, you know, it would be amazing to really create something great off Broadway that we get to bring to the schools. He's interested in bringing this to the schools as well. So I'm so excited about that. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Excellent. So what's your experience been with getting your work to a larger audience? Certainly we talked about Broadway. What's your experience been with that? And how has being a person with a disability affected how people approach your work?
Great question. People with a disability, like I said, need to be out there, and people are getting it. There's a lot more people that want to work with a person with a disability more than ever, because they think that we need stories heard. We do need stories heard. So, yeah, and getting my work out to a larger audience, we have, when we did the play we did Sorting It Out a few years ago. We had 129 people in the audience, including a dignitary and a critic. And I think that started me and my journey to New York and, of course, getting it to a larger audience. But yes, we need, like I said, we need to be out there. We need to be in the industry. And I can't stress it bad enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you said that very well before.
Thank you.
Thank you for emphasizing that. I really agree. And who gets to tell like these stories, like whose voice is actually being included? So you mentioned your support from your family and friends. So in what way has your family and the community of Oakville, Ontario been supportive to you?
Well, they have been very supportive, very supportive. And like what way? By supporting me as an emotional, physical support. Like I said, I couldn't ask for a better friends network, and sometimes family as well, that, you know, and I'm just so happy that they came on board and they said, even supporting me with this New York trip, which is excellent.
Super. What advice can you give to other people with disabilities who want to achieve their goals or pursue their dreams as a playwright and or songwriter? Or I guess that's kind of a wide open question, but yeah. Certainly those areas. What's your advice?
Be honest with your work. Be honest with your work and what you're doing. Another thing is believe. Believe that you can. Believe that you can take risks. Because a lot of people don't. They just sit on their butts and watch TV, basically. But some people do, some people don't. But the main thing is belief. If you believe that you can do something, then you can do it, basically, I think. And just believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and work hard at it. And I believe that anything and everything can come to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to respond to what you just said. I do believe that also everyone has the potential to do anything. And last but not least, what would you like to say to our listeners?
Yeah.
A sentence.
A sentence. Okay, I'll stress this again. Just believe in yourself. There's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
Okay. Okay, so this is a reading of Mateo Esposito's play. You know, Ed, I'm not fancying this conversation one bit.
No problem. It's my dad who brought me here.
Well, that's evident.
I think you should calm down, Ed.
Don't tell me to calm down. I wasn't talking to you anyway.
I was just trying to help.
Well, you're not.
You really just don't get it, do you? You don't have any respect for people with disabilities. You should. You should understand.
Well, society doesn't understand, so why should I?
So do you just blindly follow society and not have a mind of your own? People with a disability are a unique asset to the world we live in. They're truly special. They have their own gifts and talents. Each person with autism is different. So if you meet one person with autism, you would have only met one person with autism.
Is this what you do for a living? Lecture people on their insensitive dialects and on special needs?
I'm not here to lecture anyone. It's common courtesy that if you see an autistic person anywhere, treat them with respect and dignity. That goes for all people, not just those with disabilities.
Do you really think I have such high regard for these disabled people?
Well, you should.
Well, I don't. And that's good enough for me.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you so much for that interview with Mateo, Christy, and Randy. It was truly fascinating and inspiring. We at All Access Pass would like to wish the best of luck to Mateo, and we hope he makes it to Broadway in New York City very soon. Let's head to another song break. DB, what song are we listening to next?
Thanks, Richard. The next song, our third and last song of the show, is with the star of our show, Mateo Esposito. And this song is called Secret Hideaway.
There's a place that I know that is not too far from my house. Everything about this place is my secret. It's a gem of a place. Feels like a home away from my home. Just to let you know, it's a secret. And here are you, my friend. Inside my secret hideout. Na 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 na. I wake up and go down to the busy streets around me. In a while I'll be there. My secret hide away. Inside my secret hideout. Na 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 na. I'll try to get there every day. It's really close, but it feels so far away. I wish I could bring all of you up.
piano that is not too far from my house. Everything about this place is my secret.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was Secret Hideaway from Mateo Esposito. Now back to you, Richard.
Thanks, DP. Hi, Christy and Randy. So once again, thank you so much for that interview with Mateo. What was the highlight of that interview for you two?
Yeah, I just thought that his message of encouragement to our listeners was really great. And it was just nice chatting with him because I'm always like in awe of people who tell really great and truthful stories through any creative medium. And I enjoyed learning about how he finds inspiration. Also, I really enjoyed listening to the short reading of his playwright, Sorting It Out. And Rand, you can say more about that, but I can't wait to see what else he will accomplish.
Yeah, again, I can't emphasize enough, the passion that he possesses and the drive. And I think he's going to go a long way. And it was my opportunity to have the pleasure of playing one of his characters. So hopefully everyone enjoyed that and I did a reasonably good job.
How was that like for you, Randy, you know, acting out with Mateo?
Oh, it was a great experience. It was a very well-written excerpt that he had provided, and a colleague of his, Ben, also helped out. Ben was in Illinois, and of course, I'm in Kelowna, and Christine is in Vancouver, so we were all spread out, so the virtual world certainly came together.
Definitely, yeah. There's so much talent with people with disabilities or diverse abilities. And it's just a very amazing thing to see.
Yeah, looking forward to what else he does and also seeing him on stage too. He talked about acting in his own playwright as well. So I thought that was really inspiring.
Yeah, it will definitely be interesting. And I'm definitely looking forward when he gets to go to Broadway and we hear about him, hopefully in the, you know, the mainstream media and all, of course on All Access Pass as well. I really hope he makes it to the big leagues and definitely looking forward to seeing his work out there. So back to you, Richard.
Thanks, Christy, Randy, and DP. That wraps up today's episode. Hope you all enjoyed it. We would also like to mention Mateo's mentor, Anthony Tulo, who is an award-winning Americana pop, rock, and country artist. In 2018, Tulo was a nominee for the Top 5 Male Artists of the Year. He hails from Oakville, Ontario as well. And in the summer of 2019, he was the first Canadian to sell out the amphitheater at the largest Eastern European country festival. To know more about Anthony Tulo's work, please check out his website at www.anthonytulomusic.com. Also, if you would like to see more of Mateo's work, please visit his website at sites.google.com/view/Mateo Esposito.
If you are interested in joining our team or think there is an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Special thank you to Mateo Esposito for chatting with Christy and Randy.
Please like our All Access Pass Facebook page.
If you're on Twitter or Instagram or both, please follow us at @access_CITR.
If you missed part of our live show today and want to listen again, or maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can do so on citr.ca by going on the search box and typing in All Access Pass.
T take care and stay safe, everyone. Stick around for more CITR programming coming up next. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone, and again, stay safe.
Bye.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants!
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.
Back in the city again, like a fish caught on a thread, tumble and twist overnight, too much in my head.
Drowning in wet heat and din, back in the sea.
Hey, what's up, baby girl? Yeah, I would just like to call you for a minute, you know, you got something I really kind of, let's say, something I like. No, don't call it stopping. Please excuse me, girl. I'm a preparing for a better day.